God. Let's follow his right ways and do his righteous laws. Him, marriage. Since the beginning of time, God intended that to be the case. Our Lord Jesus went back to that time in Matthew 19 and verse 4. And he said, from the beginning, he that made them in the beginning, made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. And they too become one flesh. And then he adds, what God has therefore joined together, let not man put asunder. Don't break up what has been put together, because the Lord was there when that began. And the Lord takes offense to our breaking up what he has joined together. When we are in marriage, we find ourselves helping one another to have a budget, have something, have a house, have a rental apartment, do something, and we do with saving money and do things like that. Plan for years later for a stove, refrigerator, and all beginning, but we're planning for another automobile, we're planning for children's education, one thing and another like that. In Proverbs 22, verse 4, he says, by humility and the fear of the Lord come riches, honor, and life. We all want these things. We all strive for these things to one degree or another. Riches, honor, and life. Real living, real life. We want that to be the case. We're those kind of people. By humility and the fear of the Lord, those things come. Let's be people who put God in his right place in our marriage. Our riches, honor, and life. And then, every day, I noted that every day would help us to maybe overcome the fusses that lead to wars and complaints in the home and all the separations and all the evils that are associated therewith. If we're people who will use wise words, Proverbs 1, beginning at verse 8, he tells us about this. He tells us that words that we have, the influence of us, are like ornaments of grace about our heads and chains about our neck. We're people who can be controlled by those chains. We're people who can be pretty in the sight of God. Ornament of grace about our heads as those words are used. Let's be people who always talk to others with gentle words, called in the King James in Proverbs 15:1, soft words that turn away wrath. But grievous words stir up anger. When you're talking to someone who's grievous with words, you can understand the difference than someone who has soft words, someone who has gentle words to care about you and to guide your life. Avoid nagging words, Proverbs 29:1. It's easy for us to do. Nag at the children, nag at the dog, nag at the cat, nag at the postman, nag at the people around the corner, nag at them. But he that's often reproved, the wise man said in Proverbs 29, would skip in his neck, harden his neck, and fall into destruction. Yes, he's doing wrong. Yes, he's not doing right. Yes, he's going to be hurt by it. But nagging him is not going to get him away from it. Gentle words are going to lead him away. Gentle words are going to help him. It turns away wrath. Grievous words stir up anger. Let's be people who avoid angry people. When we're dating, when we're talking about dating, let's find ourselves recognizing that those people who are angry around us, let's not date that. Let's not get around that. Proverbs 22, verse 24, verse 25. Make no friendship with an angry man. With a furious man thou shalt not go. Lest thou find a snare on thy soul. He'll teach you his way. You'll become angry. You'll become soon angry. Don't go with a furious man. Someone said, I wish I knew this a long, long time ago. Well, there are a lot of things that we wish we knew. I hope a lot of people will hear these things and read these verses and see what God's word has been taught since way back in the days of Solomon. Don't nag at somebody. And don't go with an angry person. Don't make a friendship with a furious person. You'll learn his evil ways. You'll find a snare to your own soul. Then in the passage in Proverbs 15 and verse 5, and the good passage of chapter 13 and verse 24, which is not on the sheet there, but it needs to be, pat a child for encouragement, high up around the shoulders. Job well done. This is good. Keep on doing that. But also pat them sometimes a little low, down around the hip, that says, don't do this anymore. Don't let me see you practicing this anymore. Don't go this route again. Let's be people who use a correction and discipline that will help an individual's life. And Proverbs 19, verse 6, as we close. Share gifts with others. Every man becomes a friend to him that gives gifts. In a positive way, we can give not just money, but time, encouragement, opportunities to grow with somebody, questions that will help them to be encouraged, interest in their lives, interest in their future. And it may be that that friend will be the one that, as you shared that gift of friendship and kindness and love and mercy, that will say to you, I'd like to know more about you. And not be in an ugly way, and not a mean-spirited way, and not a violent way, but I'd love to know more about you. And that will be a lifelong experience, and you'll look back many times and laugh about that first meeting that we had, and the first conversation that we had that was so meaningful to me and so helpful to me, that you'll know for her or for him was the way of life that they were taught to live every day by mama and by daddy, by grandma, by grandpa, by friends that had a real home that was worth going to. The songwriter said in the gospel songs, and you can hear it sometimes when you go on YouTube and you type in this thing, my life story started once upon a hill, on the hill of Calvary. Our life story needs to start at the cross. Michael had a fine, fantastic lesson last night, and in the end of it up here on the screen was a statement made in Genesis 6 and 7 and Matthew 24 in reference to the ark and the time of the flood. And it noted there the following, that as Noah obeyed the Lord and entered into the ark, God shut the door. I have no doubt in my mind, since Peter said in 1 Peter 3:20 that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. No preacher preaches very long to people that he loves that are in sin and wrongdoing, but what he loves them, he wants them to be spared the penalty and the hurt and the harm that's going to come to them. I got the idea that if Noah had left that door open and the water began to come up, as it got closer to the knees and closer to the waist and closer to the armpits, some of those old friends would have been making their way close to that ark and close to that preacher who was a preacher of righteousness to them. Noah, Noah, Noah. We see what you mean now. Let us in, let us in, let us in. I have no doubt that Noah would have bent down at that door and he would have grabbed them by the hand and pulled them in one by one, as many as he could have done it, because he loved them. He wanted them to be saved from that flood. He wanted them to go on. But he didn't have the choice. For the scripture says, intentionally, God shut the door. But in Matthew 24, when Jesus our Lord said, but of that day, my coming again, and the hour, knoweth no man. Not even the angels know. Not even the Son knows. But my Father only. God the Father will be the one who shuts the door of opportunity in the Christian dispensation. Why not, let's do as we read the examples. Every one of those examples in the book of Acts has the following. Believers, repenting of their sins, confessing their faith in Christ, were baptized into Christ. Everyone, every single one has that statement made. They were baptized. They were baptized. They were baptized. On the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, the Samaritans in Acts 8, Saul of Tarsus in Acts 9 and 22, Cornelius in Acts 10, the people of Ephesus, of Corinthians, the people of Corinth in Acts 18, the people of Ephesus in Acts 19. Tonight is a night. Don't let that door be shut by the Lord when he says to his son, go bring my children not home, the church. Go bring them home to me. If we have our chances, we love people too. Just like old Noah, a preacher of righteousness. We love them too. We reach back for them. Let this one in who didn't understand it, had a little faith, let him in. He was a friend and a helper so much in the community, let him in. But we'll not have that opportunity. And we may be on the outside ourselves if we wait that long. Let's be people who reach them while we can. And tonight, if you're subject to Jesus' sacred invitation, won't you come with a confession of your faith in Christ, a repentance of sin, to be baptized into Christ tonight as we stand together.